In this episode, we're talking about life under pressure. If you're near the end of your rope, crunched for time, struggling to stay afloat, or have been there recently or will be there soon, this episode is your lifeline. Together, we're going to dismantle that myth that all of this pressure is unescapable. It's just normal life. And you're going to find your problem areas and get yourself out from under this pressure so you can live free. Hi, I'm Carrie, and you're listening to I Meant to Do That, the podcast that brings you breakthrough strategies to help you live and lead authentically. Hey, hi everybody. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode. I'm so glad you're here and thanks for being the best audience. I know you have a million different podcast choices out there and you don't have a lot of time. You're under a lot of pressure and here you are joining me today. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. Today we're exploring the problems of living under pressure. This is definitely something that we can all relate with. Some years, you know, you've had those times where the pressure was intense and it felt like it was crushing you. And when the pressure isn't that heavy crushing, it's one after another, or it's kind of brewing in the background. And it seems to us like this is just normal life. This is adult life. It comes with the territory of added responsibilities, home ownership, having kids, job promotions. Pressure is part of the package. And so we don't ask ourselves those big questions, the big what if question, which we're going to explore today. And based on what we discover from exploring that what if question, what can we do? What can we have that's better than this normal life of living with pressure? Well, you might guess that the what if question is, what if we don't have to live like this? What if it's possible to pull ourselves out from under this problematic, extreme pressure and live a life of freedom? What if that's what God wants for us all along? Well, if that's the case, oh, sign me up. That's incredible. I want less pressure. So today we're going to explore a few things. First of all, we're going to talk about why do we feel like this is just the normal? Why does it feel so normal to us? Because if we can't break that apart, we might not be able to see where are we experiencing that problematic kind of pressure. The other thing we're going to talk about, because it's probably on your mind, isn't some pressure good for us? Isn't it beneficial? And in fact, this is a spoiler, but it is somewhat beneficial in certain ways. And then we're also going to look at where are you experiencing that big pressure that doesn't need to be there? How are you going to find it and discover which pressure you want to get out of your life, okay, and pull yourself out from? So let's jump into it. I'm going to start with a question, because as I was thinking about this and reflecting, I thought, why are we so programmed to accept pressure? Because I know I've been programmed to accept that life is going to have a lot of pressure and there's not much we can do about it. And I was thinking about this and I'm wondering, have you ever had someone older than you say this phrase, just wait, it only gets busier, or just wait, it only gets harder, just wait, it only gets more stressful. Have you ever heard that said to you when you're in a conversation with somebody? So I was thinking about when I was a third grader and I was trying to do math problems and I had my math sheet. It was crazy hard to me, this math. I really struggled with understanding it. I felt like I couldn't get this. It must mean that I'm kind of dumb. And especially because when I was complaining, and I was complaining about how hard this math homework was, I heard back, Listen, you got to get down these basics. Math is going to be so much harder down the road. And you know, one day you're going to wish that your problems were as easy to solve as long division. Well, of course, to me as a third grader, it was a pretty big problem, but there was that phrase. Now, how about in high school? I bet you heard this in high school. I might even be guilty of saying this to my own kids. When they're talking about some of the difficulties, some of the pressure they're feeling, and people say, just wait till college. The professors aren't going to be holding your hand. It's so much harder in college. Just wait. Or how about a mom with a baby? A mom with a baby will probably hear when she's talking about the pressure she's feeling, oh, just wait till you have a preschooler and a baby. You think it's hard now. You think you're worrying about things now. Just wait, and you'll be even more sleep deprived with a baby and a preschooler because you're never going to get to take a nap. Okay, how about how women tell each other, just wait, it will only get busier, more pressure when your kids are in high school, when you're an empty nester. It's just, there's more pressure. You've got grandkids you got to think about. I don't know. I remember when my mom once said to me, and I couldn't believe that this was true. She was an empty nester, of course. I was a grown mom. I had four kids, and she was using this phrase. And I was thinking to myself, there's no way in the world that it gets more pressure than this. I have four kids. My husband travels at least 80% of the time. So I'm single momming it here. And I have a high schooler down to a two-year-old. I'm the chauffeur. I'm trying to do a part-time job. I'm homeschooling. Are you kidding me? There's no way the pressure could not be more when I'm going to be an empty nester. What in the world? Well, again, I'm so sorry if I ever said that phrase to any woman. I have it branded into my brain. Don't use that phrase. It doesn't encourage us. Do you remember how you felt when you heard it? It does not make us feel at all relieved for where we are in life. And it also certainly doesn't make us look forward to anything in the future. But when we say these phrases and we talk like it's normal and we should expect it and we shouldn't feel sorry for ourselves when we're feeling that pressure, it perpetuates it. With these ideas and these words, it just perpetuates the problem. I actually like the word perpetuate. It means to make an undesirable situation or unfounded belief continue indefinitely. It's like we're preserving the pressure life as if it's valuable. I don't know how far back you can remember, how far back your memories go. I have some memories back to when I was, I believe, 3 years old. And I was trying to think back in my earliest memories. Are those the carefree years before you realize that life has pressure and we should expect it? And I couldn't find that memory of first discovering that life is pressure. So I know often the older we get, we reminisce about the olden days years. And while it's painful for me to admit this, I'm pretty sure the olden days is now the 1980s. And I was a kid in the 70s and the 80s. And we have the way that we remember those years. And it's described as being so carefree, like we were the latchkey kids that ran around after school and we just did whatever we wanted to. And maybe some people lived that life. I mean, we definitely didn't have, in many ways, we didn't have parental supervision. We had rules and things, but we weren't necessarily being, I would say more, we didn't have a lot of engagement. It was not a very child-centered type of time to grow up in. But I don't remember thinking as a kid, there's no pressure and this is blissful, maybe when I was three, but I can't remember it. I remember some memories. I have one memory of being probably a little bit calm and content, but also just waiting. And it was when I was watching the Romper Room show on TV, and I was laying on some shag carpet, and I was just waiting for the woman, I don't remember her name, I was waiting for her to look through that magic mirror and for her to see me through it and say my name. And she never did. My name, I guess it wasn't very popular. She didn't ever say my name. You know, I think we always, from the youngest years, feel pressure. I certainly did in math class. I remember in kindergarten, I have a memory of sitting in the circle and feeling pressure for my peers to like me. And I remember there was a little girl who didn't like me. And I felt that pressure. I wanted her to like me. And I was trying to figure out what to do. And I wasn't happy about it. And then I was sitting cross-legged because we always had to sit cross-legged. And I was wearing a skirt. And then she laughed at me because she saw my underwear. And so that felt bad. And I'm like, oh, I just wanted her to like me. And now she's not going to because she saw my underwear. But we have the pressure, right? And of course, it feels normal because when we don't have pressure, it feels special. Like, oh my goodness, there's no pressure right now. And then we also try to find those escape hatches, giving ourselves permission to binge a Netflix series or, of course, vacations or taking a long weekend or just deciding to try to do nothing. So we know that having no pressure is an escape because the pressure is somewhat normal. But let's move into it because today we're challenging this perpetuated belief that it's going to get worse. There's more pressure around the corner. Stress is part of life. And without pressure, there are no diamonds. So, you know, I'm calling it out. We're going to ask it all kinds of questions. And we're going to decide what we want to go along with. Because here's the great thing. And I remind myself of this sometimes. And I think it's just because of my personality and who I am and where I came from. But I'm an adult. I can decide what I want to go along with. I really can. I wonder if you know all of the possible places that you could be experiencing pressure. I think you might be surprised. We're going to just think about it for a minute. And also think about if you start to feel a little bit of pressure while this episode is happening and where it's in your body. I know for me, I usually feel when I'm under pressure, I feel it more in like my stomach. It just feels like this sinking feeling. And then in my chest, which is normal places, but some people feel it in their shoulder or in the back of their neck, or they kind of feel it like a headache starting. But we have places in our body that start to react when we're under that pressure. So I'm going to just share a few areas where we as women are going to often feel pressure. And in two ways, we have external and we have internal. Well, one of the first is, of course, peer pressure. That one came up in my kindergarten story, which I never even planned to share that. It just came to mind, I guess. I don't even remember the last time I thought about that story. So that was a little strange. But peer pressure affects all of us, not just teens, even though that's normally what we think about. It can be peers that are the same age, but also other commonalities like, you know, the group of moms that you hang out with. That's probably one of the highest pressure places that anybody in this world can experience. Then there's the professional affiliations, even your church, your neighborhood. So peer pressure. And then just social pressure in general. So that need where you feel like you must conform to the different standards based on the social setting. Okay, but a big one is also work pressure. We have those tasks that need to be completed. There's deadlines, there's expectations, there's that career growth. You know, you can't stand still, you got to keep moving, so we feel that pressure. Also, just maybe ongoing certifications or education accomplishments. And women, they experience much more work-related anxiety and stress that is the result from pressure. than the male counterparts. Pressure for women peaks in the workplace between ages 35 and 44. And this is a well-known study from across different countries and different marketplaces of work. It's just a fact. Women feel a lot more of that pressure. We have pressure at home. There's a lot of work to be done. We carry the lion's share of childcare. There's so much to do just with your kids. And even when we don't have kids at home, the household itself, there's so much to do. There's a lot of chores that have to get done, and that can put pressure on us. Even just keeping things organized, dealing with all the stuff that we accumulate over the years, that can be a big pile of pressure when you're in your senior years. So family, let's talk about that. There's so much pressure, not only with the family living with you, but extended family, adult kids, aging parents, making appointments, planning holidays. There's so much going on there. And we feel it, don't we? The last one is, unfortunately, we feel the spiritual pressure as well. We start to ask ourselves, are we doing enough? Am I reading my Bible enough? Am I praying the right way? Am I praying enough? Am I giving enough at church? Am I serving enough? Am I sacrificing enough? Am I doing enough? And we feel that spiritual pressure. What do you think I'm leaving out? I know I'm leaving things out, and you could think of them. In fact, if we could pull all of our pressures out of our pockets and like they're little rocks and throw them on the table and make a big pile, we'd probably have a lot of them. And we'd be able to sort them into different categories, like pressure to look a certain way. I guess that would be societal pressure, right? Pressure to have a well-decorated home. We have all of these pressures on us. And because it's normalized to feel this heavy load, we live well beyond our capacity. And we keep looking for ways to time manage or schedule so we can keep adding more, because this is normal and it feels normal, and this is the way it's been. And pressure is part of just being an adult. And so it can't be that we're overloading ourselves. It must be that we're the problem and we just can't handle it. And that adds more stress, and that feeling of failure adds more pressure. In the book, How to Perform Under Pressure, The Science of Doing Your Best When It Matters Most, by Henry Welsinger, this is how pressure is defined. It's the moments or situations that share three common attributes. Number one, the outcome is important to you. Number two, the outcome is uncertain. And number three, you feel responsible and you feel judged on the outcome. These three things are also a pretty good recipe for motivation. The outcome is important to you. The outcome is uncertain. You feel responsible. Those are good things. I like it when the outcome is uncertain, because that means it's intriguing. It's going to, it's going to get me thinking creatively, and I want to see what's going to happen next. It's fun to solve a problem. I like to work on things when the outcome is important to me. That's actually a huge motivator for me. And if you feel that sense of responsibility, to me, that's ownership. I like that. You'll be judged. Don't really like that so much, but it can also be motivating. But the more that you have of the one, two, and three, then the more pressure that you're going to feel. All right, well, some pressure is good pressure, right? I use time pressure to my advantage. When my kids were young, we played this game where, when the house was absolutely out of control, I would announce that Mr. Jones is coming to visit, and I set the time when he was coming. We had to get the house ready. We'd scramble, go to our zones, clean like crazy. And then when the house was clean and we did it in time, Mr. Jones ended up not coming. So we had our own party. We'd have ice cream, pizza. There's all kinds of ways to take pressure and use it to our advantage. And we accomplish so many great things because of it. But the key is making sure we don't go past that tipping point to the danger zone. Do you mind if I get a little nerdy here for a minute? I'm going to tell you about the pressure performance curve. It's a tool that was developed by two psychologists, Robert Yerkes and John Dotson. It's so old, it's from 1908. But what's really cool is that the latest neuroscience discoveries support this theory. If you haven't heard of it, look it up. I'll put a link in the show notes for you so you can see the visual. But basically, we have like a graph we'll have. There's a y-axis, so vertical line, and then there's on the bottom, the horizontal, the x-axis, and then there's an upside-down U, so a curve, but it's upside down, you know, so it's going up high and then it's coming down. And this is showing how performance goes up or down based on pressure, how much pressure we have, and how it impacts our performance. So at the very bottom of the curve, before it even climbs up, that's like, there's no pressure. There's no pressure, but there's also no meaning. There's no motivation. There's boredom. There's just nothing. And then as you add more pressure, that curve, you climbing up the curve until you get to the top. And at that peak, that's the optimal place. That's where you have the creativity, the motivation, the inspiration, and you're at your best. But then as the pressure keeps mounting and it keeps increasing, you have higher levels of pressure, more intensity, then the productivity starts to fall. And as it starts to fall a little bit, that's the place in life where in order for you to do well, you need to have support. You need to have maybe the right kind of mindset, mindfulness, perspective, people on your team helping you. And then if you keep going down that curve, then you get into what we're talking about, which is that problematic pressure or the toxic pressure. And this is the pressure that leads to stress. And when pressure leads to stress, we're not doing well. We're in a bad place. When you just get past that and you're in that crisis zone, you might not even realize it. But okay, I'm going to get fun and sciencey here. This is what happens. Your prefrontal cortex is highly affected, which means you're operating with lower memory. Your decision-making ability is being affected and minimized. You have a more difficult time putting information in and then recalling it, which that's going to affect your decision-making. It also really impacts your emotional regulation and your ability to manage your behavior. Your inhibitions go down. It's not good. And as you keep going and you keep going, you hit burnout. Here's another place in life where it doesn't benefit us to compare who we are with anyone else because everyone is different. And so the pressure performance curve for me is going to be different than it is for you. And so it's important to understand ourselves and do some curious assessing of how pressure affects you. Because once you can determine when you're in that sweet spot and when you're going over the edge, that's going to be really a helpful tool. I think it's time to ask that question again, that what if question. What if we don't have to live with all of this pressure? What if we don't? What if it could just be the right kind of pressure that motivates us and excites us to creativity? What if we don't have to accept that this is normal, that this is what it is, and that's just part of life? What if? I say that's actually what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be free from this toxic pressure. And if you're a Christian, I believe the most pressure-free relationship that you have is your relationship with God. It's pressure-free. In that area, No doubt about it. If you're getting external pressure about your relationship with God, and if you're good enough or you're doing enough, you can let that go right now. And if you would like to talk to me more about that, please reach out. This is really good news. This is the best ending to the story. We are not expected to live in a pressure cooker. We aren't designed to thrive in one, and we're not supposed to be in it. So let's get out of the pressure cooker. We can be rebels. We can go against the grain. We don't have to nod and politely smile the next time someone says, just wait, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get harder, because that's not for us. That's not our story. That's not our jam. We do not live in a pressure cooker. We're free. We're free. So what do we do? How do we get there? Those are a lot of individual path questions, right? I can't tell you exactly how to do it, but I can tell you how to start. I can give you an idea on how to start. And I hope, I really hope that you're motivated to do it. I hope that it meets the categories that put it in that good pressure place. The outcome is important to you. Maybe the outcome is uncertain, and you feel responsibility. You feel ownership. This is something for you. You see the good in it. I hope that you're feeling it. And maybe you got some time pressure on you, because you know you cannot keep living this way. You don't want to, and I don't want to. Okay, so here's what you can do. It's so simple, and I think simple is the way to go. One thing that I want you to do is remember to engage yourself from this moment on, when we're talking about pressure, in a judgment-free zone. Nothing good is going to come from you picking yourself apart in this next step. Okay, don't pick yourself apart. Don't put a lot of judgment and meaning and shame and guilt, da-da-da. That's just not going to help you. Not necessary. So here's what it is. You're going to do a journaling exercise. It's so powerful to journal. I don't like journaling, but I do like journaling because I love the outcome. I never regret it when I do it. Kind of like when I used to be a runner, I would remind myself before I'd go for a run, you never regret it when you come back. And I never did. I always felt like it was worth it and worth the effort when I went out. Even if I didn't turn out to be as good of a run as I wanted it to, I still didn't wish I never put feet on the pavement. So you're not going to regret putting pen to the paper, especially if you remember the rule to not judge yourself through the process. Okay, enough talk. Here's what you do. You're going to take an inventory of your pressure right now, where you are in life. Just start jotting down the pressure that's on you. Things like, I feel pressure to cook healthy meals every night. I feel pressure to get this project done in a way that will make my coworkers happy. I feel pressure to keep a perfectly clean house. Write them down. Don't judge them, and don't stop. Just go on to the next one. After you've written out some pressures, don't feel the pressure to find every single one, especially in this first run through. Maybe you have 10 of them. Maybe you worked on it for 3 minutes. The next step is you go to each one of those and you want to identify, is this an external pressure or an internal pressure? External E, internal I, as simple as that. Write those down. If you think that they're both, I don't know, write down both for now. It's no big deal. Just put it down and move on to the next step. In the next step, you're going to determine if this pressure is a real pressure, like it's real, it's something you really need to deal with, or if it's fake. There's something about it that's twisted and wrong and off track. Okay, it's real, it's fake. So make those notations. You're going to find some fake ones. Once you have that inventory, now you have something to work with. And here's the individual process. you're going to want to understand yourself. And with each one of those pressures, which ones are important to you? Which ones require more support? Because, hey, you're finding yourself over the edge too much. And which ones have you in that red zone? Where are you in the danger zone? If it's an internal pressure, there is absolutely something you can do about that quickly. If it is an external pressure, then you're going to need to make some adjustments. You're going to have to ask for help. You're going to have to make some necessary changes. There's something that you're going to need to do so that you can pull it out of the red and get yourself up to a manageable area of pressure. But you will be surprised at when you can identify those fake pressures. And also, I want to say one component of a real pressure could be some fake. Like, I need to keep my house perfectly clean. I need to keep my house clean. Yes. Does that feel like a pressure to me? It actually does. I'm not the best at cleaning and organizing. Does it have to be perfect? No. When I let go of the perfect, it made that into the, well, to be quite honest, sometimes I'm not so motivated to clean, but it definitely pulled it out of the red. You'll be surprised at how many of your pressures can be identified as fake and then put aside, and you don't have to deal with them anymore. And when they crop up in your mind, when you're driving your car because you're finally sitting still, or when you're going to bed at night because you're finally sitting still, you can remind yourself what to do with that fake pressure. This is a simple exercise to get you started, but you know, it can be overwhelming in itself to take a look at where you are now and where you want to be and navigate that road, the ups and downs, the bridges you need to build to get there. This is what coaches do. This is what I do. I'm a trained coach. I'm certified. I have my master's degree in coaching. This is what I love to do. And I would be very honored to have a chat with you and explain more how I can help you identify those danger zones and to create a life where you have more intention, you have more time, you have more peace and calm, and you can get more of what matters most in your life. If you want me to help you with that, all you need to do is reach out. We can schedule a complimentary consultation where we talk about your situation. I'm all ears. I'm a great listener, and I can answer all your questions about coaching. And not just individual coaching, but you know what? I have some really great stuff about to come out. Workshops in the works. And I also have a group coaching program that is going to be launched soon. The info first goes out to the email list, and usually there's an early bird opportunity, so get on the list. So did I convince you? Are you ready to pursue a life outside of the normal, hurried, pressured way of living? Are you convinced that that is not for you? Do you know that when you step out of that red zone, that pressure, the toxic pressure, do you know you're going to be more of who you are? You're going to be freer to be you. You're going to be able to do more of the things that matter most. And that's going to feel and be incredible. This is a life that God has for us. Thank you so much for listening. The best way that you can support this podcast is by hitting subscribe or like wherever you're listening to your podcast. Leave a rating and a review, and also send these out to your friends. You'll find links to all of the resources mentioned today in the show notes. Visit carriegoodman.com. On my website, I offer free resources as well as opportunities for group coaching, workshops, and soon to be courses. So check that out. Remember, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. Be yourself. Enjoy today. This world needs you. Till next time.